Hi everyone, don't forget to order all of your sex toy needs at adamandeve.com. From now until Valentine's Day, you can buy anything in their online store at 50% off, and that's going to include a Zoe-approved bag of mystery DVDs and vibrators and a special gift for him. So without further ado, I present to you my first live show, filmed here in my favorite city of all, New York. Thank you all for coming. As you all know, or maybe just like try to tune out, I have a podcast. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. I'm trying to find other ways to get the messages I'm trying to get out, which is mostly about how to love yourself, how to love others, how to have the best sex you can, how to be the dirtiest, raunchiest, coolest, weirdest, funkiest, freak flag all day person you can be. So this is a celebration of that. All of you are my really good friends. Usually I do this with strangers, so I'm a little nervous. I'm medium drunk. Okay, so Rhea, what do you do? Tell me everything about who you are. And besides how beautiful and amazing and energetic and charming you are, for people who can't see you, what do you do?
Yes. Well, I am openly polyamorous and non-monogamous.
I just love that phrase, non-monogamous. It just sounds sexy. It really does.
It's like, I am not monogamous.
You are not.
I am definitely not.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So I have multiple partners. I am dating currently many lovers all around the world. But in New York City, where I live, I have two boyfriends and a girlfriend.
Duh.
Yes.
Who doesn't? And tell me your mantra, sort of, for life. Like, what are you doing this for? Like, what is your message?
Well, I just realized that I'm also gender fluid and queer, so I enjoy both men and women. So for me to just date monogamously one gender would feel like I'm half dead inside.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
And honestly, it makes no sense for anyone, does it?
Yes.
It is a non-human and non-authentic way of living life.
It's something that really works for me and for a lot of people.
You're so much more meta about it.
We have a sexless marriage.
That's like my greatest nightmare. It's actually my greatest fear.
I figured life out because we live together, we share groceries, we share expenses, we're emotionally codependent.
You're Jews, I get it.
We're Jews, we don't have the sex, but I have the sex everywhere else.
But you split the bills.
You split the bills.
So she's there for you and shit is bad and you don't fuck her.
Yeah.
You guys are my greatest nightmare. No sex and only like the admin, all admin?
I have a phenomenal person, and then having sex with
I'm like getting high just looking at you.
Wait,
say it again. I'm itchy. You guys are making itch.
Emotional.
Needs fulfilled.
Supportive.
You do like laundry and groceries.
Oh, today.
People die.
Today.
Yeah,
we had our apartment clean today. We separated our laundry. I did my black. She put colors.
Are you just in love with her and she won't fuck you?
No. I'm in love with her. She won't fuck me.
Have you never had an opportunity to have a relationship with somebody that had the same things but with sex?
That's a great question. Yes and no. Well, I don't believe that one person can satiate 100% of any other person.
But she's satiating a friend role.
It's great, yeah. So, well, all of my lovers I'm friends with, and I happen to also have sex with them.
How many people are you actively having sex with at one time?
In group sex?
Group sex or monogamous sex. I don't know. I'm not even cool enough to understand the different kinds of iterations you could possibly have.
Well, okay, so the beauty about sex, group sex, is that there's a moment in time where you're completely enmeshed in this big organism of, like, bodies and tits and ass, and you don't even know who's
like
inside of you.
Like in that painting, Del
it's
Zappi.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. That has been nightmares. Whether all the devil things are coming out of the picture.
You don't know where your limb ends and the
Where's
other person
Where's my pussy?
Begins.
Whose dick is this? I don't know.
It feels great. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, but like, so like, let's say you meet someone that you actually love and you split bills with and you want to shove their dick or pussy on your face and their asshole. Mm. You want to like put your tongue inside their actual asshole until they're like the lower intestine.
Yes. I have 3 partners like that. 2 men and 1 woman.
Don't they want to... do you... But, so sorry, so she trumps... For in terms of admin and chores, she trumps them.
Probably.
So, like, you are...
Well, how about this? Laura's on my will. If I croak, like, she gets everything.
And you don't... And she doesn't make you come? Genius. You're the new genius. Sorry, Roland. You can start... Sorry. She, like, pays your bills. You don't fuck her. She, like, worships you, takes care of your, like, emotional administration. All right.
But
so
healthy boundaries.
You are heterosexual. You are queer. You think you're a man whose construction worker will fuck any girl that walks by or
yes.
a guy that walks by.
Yes.
It's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
You picked, like, some, like, uptight, Jewy mom type to, like, live with that, like,
yeah.
is embarrassed of you?
I miss
what
my mom.
What is wrong with you? I've spent my life moving away from this, and you were like...
I love it. She yells at me. It works. Placenta and breast milk in our fridge.
Sorry? For what? For what purpose? Whose placenta?
People who've given birth.
Fuck off. What, don't they want their own placenta?
Well, they want me to encapsulate it for them.
I don't understand. Stop, like, eye flirting with me while you talk about placentas. This is also my greatest nightmare. Placenta is... And you don't even... And they're not yours?
No, I've never had a baby.
Whose breast milk do you have?
Another person.
Whose?
another mom.
Don't they want their own? I just don't understand what you're doing with these people's fucking primordial fluid. What are you doing with it?
You make capsules.
And then what?
And jewelry.
You trust them.
You...
And jewelry.
And jewelry?
I love my life.
What kind of jewelry?
So inclusion jewelry. We make
jewelry.
We make pendants and rings out of breast milk,
just
semen,
you know,
menstrual
and diamonds
blood.
Make them worthless,
yeah.
But it's fine.
Hair.
It's not
you know.
Worth much more other than
placenta.
Is it good for your skin? Does it make you young?
It's no, kind of like.
But they do it in like.
Do you sell this to like old craggly like Upper East Side Jew women who like
oh,
want to be young?
It. They love it.
Oh, I get this. This is a business thing.
Oh,
you
yeah,
sell this to like old ladies who want to be young.
No.
You sell placenta and breast milk to like craggly old New Yorkers who never had babies.
Not quite.
I don't understand.
They had the baby.
Yeah.
They don't want PPD.
Sorry.
Depression.
But yeah.
They ingest the placenta capsules.
And it's their placenta capsules.
Absolutely.
Can't they make their own? They need you.
They probably can, but it's a little messy.
And they just had a baby.
It's a little messy.
Okay, so I've got some questions about when the placenta is taken out of their vagina.
It's not right. taken out. They deliver it.
Okay, either way, you know. Eat a tomato, whatever. So then you get it when? Like days after? Does it go bad? Is it
that,
refrigerated?
No,
is it in a cooler, like those heart transplant
Absolutely.
Things?
Cooler, everything.
Yeah.
Super sterile.
Sterile. And mm-hmm. then from how many days does it take from the birth to your fridge?
That day.
And then what do? You take out the warm placenta and then you do what with it?
It's usually cool by then.
And then what do? Is it like hard? Is it
you
like
dehydrate
a...
it. No, it's like, it's an organ.
Is it moving?
Has anyone
like
here
blob?
Had a baby?
No, there's no babies here. What
no
do we
baby.
Look like? Like old elderly people? Like we're young.
We're too old for babies.
We are too young for babies in this crowd, right guys? Oh, shit. 30 plus is too old, right? All young. Shit.
Not at all.
You guys are confusing me. So sorry, you take out the rock hard placenta that you could like break if you shatter it, or you could like...
No, it's soft and like mushy. It's an organ.
It's like cooking chicken.
It's like more like a liver. It's an organ.
Did you say like it's cooking chicken?
Well, so I'm a vegetarian, so I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, good reason.
Between liver.
I would be a vegetarian if I saw a fucking placenta being put up into capsules too.
It's like modern day. I think it's modern day witchcraft.
I don't think you can do that.
Okay, so sorry. You take the placenta, and then what do you do with it?
You dehydrate it in a dehydrator. The same thing that makes raw kale chips into like kale chips.
That's gross. I'm never eating kale chips again. And what do you charge for this service?
I mean, it depends. I mean, I do a sliding scale.
Sliding
scale.
If the placenta looks poor, you make it.
No, I just don't discriminate on what people need.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm just trying to imagine like how you decide if placenta looks rich or not. Like, is it like the veins? Is it like the mucus? Like, is it
how many? There's six different. There's like
mucus. Like what?
Placenta is like vagina. There's no one that looks the same as the other. It's like a fingerprint.
Like a snowflake.
Like a snowflake.
Like a snowflake.
It's a snow. We're giving birth to snowflakes.
All women are. Like
we're very unique.
You guys are really incredible. I've never actually had two people like you actually to talk to. So then you take the placenta, you dehydrate it, and then you chop it like a chef.
Chop before it goes into the dehydrator.
You chop it, you dehydrate it, and then you pulverize it like in a
NutriBullet.
Forget it, Ronco. NutriBullet.
In a NutriBullet. Coffee grinder.
Like I used to chop my weed with, right? This is some grown up shit y'all got going on.
A NutriBullet to chop.
I did. So then you make the pills. You give them to other women or just the women?
No, just the women who deliver the baby.
Yeah. How do you make sure it's their placenta pills? Do you label them? Are they a separate color?
You know, it's not like a high volume thing.
Are you sure? Because you seem pretty pro.
It's not a high volume. You have one at a time.
Okay. So I see now why she's your other. Okay. And so you're fine with her fucking others.
Oh, please. I enjoy women.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do.
And your boyfriend's fine with her?
I don't think he really has an opinion.
Oh, you don't think he has an opinion?
He doesn't have an opinion.
He really thinks about this.
Are you sure? Is he
what do you think?
He's a retard? Like any personal relationship would be highly threatened by her. I'm highly threatened just by being around her and I'm in a relationship with you.
You get to know her.
All right, guys, I'm feeling like I'm like the lamest person in the world now.
No,
I don't, I'm like the most.
Not at all.
So if I'm in a relationship, like a consensual monogamous relationship, I'm just a loser. Because I'm not chopping up placenta pills with my lesbian, non-lesbian girlfriend, but my boyfriend doesn't give a shit. I don't know. Like, it's so cool. It's so new age.
So,
ladies, okay, so here, let's bring it back to the basics of things. How do all of us incorporate your lifestyle into our lifestyles? Because this is so dope. And I am feeling really like June Cleaver, like 1950s, like from the past. How do we do this? How do we find a her or you or like what do I do? Is this on Snapchat or where do we find it? Where do I go? Is there like a thriller for this?
I've done a titty tap dance on Snapchat. I am on Snapchat.
You're a what?
Titty tap dancing on Snapchat.
What's the weirdest sex you've ever had?
Weirdest.
What's the most extreme?
Can I say like loving?
Yeah, loving.
Okay. There's this one time I went to tell a story. And, you know, Laura and I, we went. I was like, okay, where are my awesome loving artists and people who really want to, like, be sensual at? Because I was going to, like, the bro beach bars. I was like, where are my poly? Where are my burners? Where are my artists? So we went to a vegan restaurant because that's where they hang out.
Where else would you go in Tel Aviv?
Yeah. And we asked the waiter, where do we go? So he gave us three listings. We went to one of the bars. We met these two dancers. Hot. One was French because he was visiting his other best friend, childhood best friend, who's half French, half Israeli. And I was like, wow, you speak English and you're just very sexy.
You speak English. Your barometer is high.
And you have an 8-pack.
Like almost for 5 years of my life as a younger person.
So, you know, and Laura had just started her monogamous relationship at that time. So she ended up leaving. And I was like, don't worry, I'll take one for the team. I actually said that. And
you're like, thanks.
High five, let's go.
And I went home with the two of them. And they made love with each other through me. It was a beautiful, like, experience.
They loved each other, but they were heterosexual men, and they weren't comfortable touching swords.
Was it like cone heads where y'all put your heads together, or like, what does that mean?
having sex through me?
Yes, I'd like to more specifics.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So
details would help.
Well, a lot of it has to do with, like, energetic, you know, like a vortex that you create with the person. Like, you just breathe together, you move together. But if you want logistics...
Yes, I'd like some logistics.
I was, like, on...
Imagine I'm dropping up my kid for soccer
practice.
Yeah,
I'm on all fours. I have, like, one cock down my throat and another cock upside of me. And it's just, like...
Upside? Which side?
At the vagina.
I think.
Anus. One of those holes.
It's hard to know. The holes are interchangeable these days.
It's great. And it's just, like, this one motion of wave of, like, cock. Just like through my channel.
And you see that as them loving each other through you.
Yes. I was the conduit of love.
Yeah. You could tell.
It was beautiful. And then they fed, and this is like all happening on a balcony in the middle of Tel Aviv. I'm getting fed like raw mint leaves and honey. And they're like speaking things
in
my ear.
No meat on a stick?
No. Just cock.
Oh,
yeah.
You were the meat on a stick.
I was the meat.
But a conduit.
A conduit.
Not
a meat.
Not
a meat.
Just a transistor, right?
And then I don't know if you know Jewish women.
I've heard of them,
but they're like really fucking intense. So
are they?
Yeah. So
Tell me about it.
It was my Jewish mom, Jewish grandma, Jewish aunt, like kvetching and like gut.
I've heard of kvetching.
Yeah.
What is kvetching? Kvetching, nagging, God knows what. And I was like, you're fucking Lala. I just got fucked amazing land. And I was like, just yell at me.
Oh, they were like, where have you been?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You're like, oh, this now is a conduit for gay love. They didn't know they were in love. I'm sorry. I was helping them realize their gay potential. I was using the dicks in my mouth and my ass as like a way to help them find love.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
You're there. Totally.
I just realized something, which is that I thought my life was exciting and interesting, and I was wrong.
It's very exciting.
I am not killing it.
I am
going to step my game up. Thank you for that. You've just gauntleted me. You just fucking slapped my face with a leather glove. Tell you what.
That's an act we can do.
If you guys, I just want to say, you guys have been absolutely mind-blowing for me personally, but like, if you had a message to people, I have a lot of listeners who are in the middle of the country, all over the world, really, that like, that don't have a lot of experience with an outsider opinion about monogamy and sexual experiences, like, what would you have to say to them about why they should sort of branch out of their heterosexual normative boxes?
I would actually say to branch in. Like, basically the idea is that the reason why non-monogamy is such a like, oh, taboo, is because monogamy is default.
So this is Roland. I've known Roland for actually quite some time. I had one of the most intense experiences I've actually ever had at his home. I'm not sure if he knows that or not. We'll talk about that later.
I don't know that.
You don't know that, yeah. Okay, so I brought him here today because he has a lot to explain to us about how to be the best, what's the word? Hoodwinker? No. Charlotte,
Love guru?
No. Mogul.
Mogul.
No. How do we, what's the word? Sex therapist.
Sex guru?
That's the one.
Sex
got it.
Guru.
So Roland, so I must tell you that I really aspire to be somebody. I always wanted to make the pet rock. I always wanted to do things where you could make money off of somehow. I just never thought what he does for a passion and a living could be profitable. I really admire his work. So I'll let him tell you what he does.
Well, why don't you tell the story of how you heard about me, how I heard about you.
So my very good friend Christina, who is now actually a sex therapist, guru, Indian shaman, priestess, is that what she is now?
Yeah, yeah.
She changed her name to Suman. She is full-on Australian. Big, big boobs, blonde hair, exactly what you imagine like an Aussie beach babe to be. At 24, she came to my living room and said, I have just paid someone $600 to make me come. And it was him.
Certainly.
I couldn't believe that a 24-year-old, big, boobalicious, hot-ass chick would ever pay anybody to fuck, ever.
No. Time out. There was no fucking. There's no sex. This is an asexual experience. Did she tell you she got fucked?
No, absolutely not. Fuck.
No, that's not true. That's an urban myth.
Okay. I consider it sex. So if that's true, then I've only had sex with like.
But she didn't say she had sex. She said that she told me
she came like 12 times in a row with this man.
It was actually 13 her first time.
So I had to find out who he was, and then I got to know you, and I would like to know how men could figure out how to make young girls with big tits pay them to fuck them.
Well, if, see.
Or sorry, to right, have right. sexual experience. I don't know what the word is.
All right, so I have to correct Zoe. So there's no sex involved. So this is basically, this is 21st century sexual healing.
Feel better.
And so this is basically, it's conscious sexuality of the 21st century. And all I'm basically doing is helping women access dormant orgasmic potential. Right, so women often fault men for not achieving their maximum orgasmic potential. Yeah, he was a premature ejaculator, or he had a small penis, or he didn't
you
go down on me.
Right. Energy around
so
that.
I speak for the women, ladies. Oh, so I speak for the ladies.
You speak for the men.
I speak for the ladies. So, okay. So women are. Where was I? I lost my train of thought.
That's fine.
Right. So.
Women are constantly blaming men for their inability.
Right, so
to
women are basically blaming men for not having the ultimate sexual experience, and very often.
So it's the women's fault. It's their fault.
No. Well, no. It's mutual. So we live in a society of instant gratification. Everybody wants it right away. Right. It's like we no longer wait for the love. We rush through things. So we basically forgot the art of foreplay. We've abandoned our higher self in this state that we
Isn't
now live in.
Is there a higher self when you have sex? I've yet to achieve that.
This is tantra, my dear, right? Oh. This is what all the Taoists, right?
Does it make a tantra?
Of course, no. It makes it more ironic, right? Oh. A little transcendence through sexuality. Right? So I think it's we need a Borat, like a love guru, the equivalent of Borat love guru,
right? I'm sitting right in front of you.
He has to have an accent. He has to have a
that's
beard,
very sexist.
Right?
I'm sitting right here, but it's fine.
All right, so the argument is, why are women not having achieving maximum potential orgasmically? Well, my advice to women is, if you want to get your goddess shit together, master your masturbation, right? So learn your body first, right? Learn what's your limit. How many orgasms can you have? Why are you not having 74 orgasms over the course of a 6-hour play session.
You are hyperbolic and a liar, 74.
No, I am not. I swear on my
74
life.
74, sort of like four completion orgasms. I
actually have it on video. I have a dermatologist in San Francisco on video
that
with a video.
Sound sexy.
She was sexy. So I have a certified board certified dermatologist on video. Testifying.
Is it like a Catholic thing where you get on your knees and you have rosary beads and you like pray to God to like let your sins go?
So the whole
that I could get behind. I see the value in that.
No. The whole point is that the human body has a greater capacity to access divine, infinite love, right? So what is an orgasm? An orgasm is the greatest expression of self-love, right? So why not love yourself? And so my challenge to women is masturbate. Push yourself to the limit. If your maximum was 2, 3, 4, push yourself for 5 tonight.
Sorry. I just want to be clear. I can, if I am really, like, if I have a tiny bit of energy left, maybe I can make myself come once. Maybe.
So why don't we have you...
No, wait.
Why don't we have Zoe...
No, my question is...
Let's clear the table.
I don't feel like... This is what happened. This is what happened the time that I hung out with him. I felt very comfortable. No, but like, my question to you is this. Who has the time to come 74 times? How long does that take? Is it like a second orgasm? Is it like a 10?
Right. So, all right. So, are
this
you...
This is New York. No one has time
so
to come that much.
I'm going to ask Zoe the same question I ask my male client. So, I train men. They either bring partners or I hire a model. I have a model.
You call them models?
I have Rhea. Rhea has had the pleasure of modeling for me a number of times.
You're the model?
She has modeled for me on
Damn,
a number of occasions.
Okay.
Where men will hire me. The same way women hire me, and men will hire me, and they say, teach me how to help a woman come. So here's the gist of it. So the question is, are you a fucker or are you a lover, Zoe? A fucker is happy with one orgasm, right? A lover likes to cultivate sensuality. A lover likes to take their time and deepen the intimacy.
But taking time
with
for me
coconut
means
oil
one orgasm.
And
74 orgasms means that I'm literally, I don't even know what you're doing. It's like...
Like, you know, you're on another fucking planet, right? You are. So you have. So here's the deal. So you have. All right. So do you have a sexual practice or a sensual practice, right? Do you want to get fucked? Do you want to get loved, right? So my theory is that if she's a woman, chances are she's going to open her heart and her body if a man takes his time to cultivate that yumminess and gets her pussy to purr for him, right? So her pussy's purring.
I'm having a hard time.
You're not purring? Your pussy... Zoe's pussy is not purring. So let's go back to the original question.
May you touch me?
Of course.
Never been asked that in my life. Absolutely.
That's not her... okay, yeah, it is. Let me put that up there.
What's not?
So what were we talking about? We were talking about...
Six hours. I got very nervous at this house. It's very similar to this.
What happened at my house?
I went to a dinner party of yours, and it basically turned into an orgy, and everyone was pressuring me to get on your yoga fly, like, bondage bed, and I did, and I felt very nervous, and I got off, and people were, like, doing drugs, and, like, there was an oil thing, and then there was, like, a Hitachi that came out, and everybody was, like really hot and Australian and, like, sexy and, like, telling me that I should, like, be more relaxed, and I got more nervous.
So she left.
And then I left.
I packed her a goodie bag, a little doggy bag, her dessert.
Okay, so sorry. We're just talking in, like, big numbers. I want to understand, from start to finish, you take a woman who is meek and hot and 23 with huge tits and blonde hair.
Challenged orgasmically.
And she walks in, she's like, I'm having a really hard time coming. It's, like, really difficult. My boyfriend works in finance.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's just, like, really challenging because his penis is big. He's got a lot of money. And he just, like, jackhammers me. It's, like, really hard to come. And so, like, what do you do? Like, what then what? Then you do what? You bring out some sparklers to make it more comfortable? Like, what do you do? I'd like a step-by-step walkthrough of how you make bitches come.
I start with a practice that I created called Comma Flight Massage, which is basically an aerial massage. I do it on a massage table, and it merges contact improv with acro yoga, Thai massage, tango, a little ballet, and it looks like a horizontal tango.
What
on a massage
do you wear?
Table.
Maybe
you wear
a dreidel on a
massage. Oh, honey, I did it. And he was wearing flame covered pants.
Right.
That's what he was.
Burning Man. So they were my playa pants. So I spend a good hour and a half throwing a woman in the air, bending her, twisting her, opening her hips, and really creating this yummy, comfortable, safe space.
Yummy
while
is the
she's
word
in
the I would
air,
use,
right?
For sure.
So, was it yummy for you?
It was delectable.
Oh, I'll do this.
It was delicious.
Ah, okay. I thought she was complaining.
This is a straight face.
Gentlemen, do you see the potential? Raise your hand, boys. Raise your hand. Imagine fucking your woman in 101 positions without even blinking, right?
Next. Okay, so then I know that's step one, and then comes the coconut oil, the naked massage, correct?
You can.
So can you tell me about step two? That's step one. There's three steps of this process, yeah?
Maybe five.
Okay, well, can you walk? So that's step one.
And the second part of the program is coconut oil massage. It's about a two-plus-hour erotic massage.
But when does the giant Hitachi wand come out? Because for me, it seems like, what a genius. Women pay you to come, and then you whip out a giant fucking vibrator, and that's like kind of hooked up to like a nuclear fission reactor, and it's like, how could you not come? I've never come from a vibrator, not once.
Exactly.
Not one time. I'm gonna think about it. Nope, not once. I've always come with a vibrator. So like that's where I find your business model to be so fucking, it's like Madoff almost. It's like you can't come. You come over to my house, I put a fucking Hitachi on your pussy and you come. I mean, it's like, of course you come. No? Is it that they come harder?
No. You know what? They come long. So here, let me back up for a second.
Okay.
So it moves to a yoni massage, right? So from a coconut oil massage to a yoni massage.
That one. Yeah.
And then, so it depends. Some women will have one orgasm, multiple orgasms during the yoni massage, right?
So what's a yoni massage?
Pussy massage?
I knew that.
Okay. Right.
I knew that.
I'm sorry for our listening audience. Yoni is Hindi for pussy.
We're broadcasting to the Midwest. You like still have like Tupperware parties where they sneak in a dildo. Like, we don't know who's listening, you know? So you gotta, not everyone's been to Burning Man and have had like super like bondage, like up floor, like top level sex parties.
Sure. So the wand comes into the picture. It's an insurance policy in some cases, right? But in other cases, it's actually.
I think all men consider it an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, come! I swear to God, I'm gonna bring out that vibrator.
So
you're not careful.
How many men in our listening audience own vibrators? All right, 21st century men. And the men that don't, Amazon.com. You can buy a Hitachi Magic Wand for
$69.99.
It's actually $49.99 on sale today. I checked one this morning. Yeah, with free shipping.
But the cordless.
Yeah, I was a spokesperson for Hitachi Magic Wand.
Wait a minute, I just remember something. I got a sponsor, bitches. AdamandEve.com toys. 50% off any Hitachi wand. Sorry to interrupt you. We're like just plugging away, aren't we?
So the wand, vibrators are an essential part of the entire practice. You got to have a vibrator in the event of an emergency, right? But sometimes a vibrator isn't plan B. Sometimes a vibrator plays a significant role in plan A, really? Or no, rather, the inverse, right? So plan A. Plan B is when your partner has orgasmed to their max capacity, right? And it's like, wow, I've had three more than I ever have. You pull the wand out for an extra 30. And that... Yeah, so, because wands can do things that no man can do. Ladies, right? No one can top the magic wand.
And therein
wand.
Lies the no genius one. Of your business model.
Right. No, but the reality is that more often than not, the orgasms should be occurring prior to the wand coming into the picture.
I
right?
mean, I yeah. would if I'm paying you, yeah. I there
of
better
course,
not be a vibrator
course.
Involved. I'll tell you that, because I could just do that for free.
I bet I could make you come 30 times, Zoe. Exactly. Look at her.
I mean, it's actually so enticing. I've never 30 times. I mean, 30 times. I can't even. I did. There was a day once in Paris
hours.
That there was five, and I considered that to be like a Prometheus, like every single kind of like rolling a boulder up the hill, the birds not being able to peck out my liver, stealing fire from the gods. It was like the greatest day of my life. 30, I might have to just, that's it, I'm going to Harry Carey, I'm done. Like, what do I have left to live for?
Right.
How can I beat that?
That's
where is
the
there
problem.
To go after 30 fucking orgasms?
Right, that's the problem.
Do women fall in love with you?
No, they're not
Bullshit,
supposed to.
Bullshit, they
they're
don't.
They're not supposed to. I know you love me. So they're not supposed to. What you need is to find a partner that you're comfortable saying, hi, I'm Zoe, and by the way, I'm multi-orgasmic. Right? So when you tell a man, so I say to women, if you're multi-orgasmic, or when women who I work with, the first thing I say is go out and tell the world you are multi-orgasmic. Give your man fucking purpose. Right? Make your man work for your
orgasm.
Oh,
you guys are so
right?
annoying.
So
I see.
We're saying, women, tell your men, if you're multi-orgasmic, hi, I'm Zoe, and I can orgasm four times. So the point is, it's like, speak up, right? Speak your truth, right?
That is not my truth yet, because I did that one time, and it was like in Paris, and the Eiffel Tower was sparkling.
Right. So maybe so maybe your truth is like, hi, I'm Zoe, I can orgasm once. If you can make me orgasm twice.
So how much does it cost me to come 30 times?
Well, see,
can I have a scholarship?
No, the problem is that I...
can I have, like, a Jew? Like, I mean, I come from the longest line of Jews. I mean, I can't think of a woman in my line of family that would ever pay for an orgasm. I mean, we make men pay to come. Like,
one way
exclusively
or another. Right,
from
right,
my
right.
entire... I'm thinking of that from my mother to my sisters to my grandparents. Like, women, we make you pay, like, with blood, with money, with, like, life. Like, you pay. So, like, this concept is just genius to me. I pay to come. I love it. All right, so what do I do? How do we start this process?
What do you mean?
I would like to come 30 times.
In front of your listening audience?
I'm not there yet.
You have to send me a text or a message and tell me why you want to come 30 times.
Because I'm a gluttonous New Yorker who's obsessed with everything that I have in front of me. Because I come all the time and it feels great. I want more and more and more endlessly.
Right. You have to tell me why you don't orgasm endlessly now. Right.
Wow.
So that's a longer conversation.
Right,
exactly. So, and I usually spend a good 30 minutes to an hour in a talking session, right? I want to get to the bottom of it. What is holding you back? Where are you limiting yourself? And so we get to the bottom of that. We get to the root of the problem, right? It's like, oh, there you go. It's a trust issue, right? So as soon as you trust, you let go. And as soon as you let go, you access your orgasmic potential.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
And it's $49.99 an orgasm.
I'm not successful.
No, the truth... The truth is, my business model is fucked, right? So I do from zero.
I think your business model is fucking genius.
It's fucked. It's fucked. No, because I do it from zero to 600 on a sliding scale. If you can afford it, you pay my full rate.
Do you have to
rate.
Show like bank account statements?
I wish.
How do you prove it? Like the status of your clothes and your makeup or something?
Basically,
like,
yeah.
You're like, bitch, you're like a 49. 45.
I'm checking labels as they get undressed.
So
right?
She's got like Miu Miu on her jacket. Like,
right, she's paying the full price.
Okay,
that's right.
Fair enough.
I'm pulling out the square credit card swiper right on the spot. Right.
I like your style.
No, so it's sliding scale because it's I consider it.
It's a charity.
It's healing. It's, you know, it's God's work, right?
It's God's
I consider
work.
It God's work. And
I really, really adore you. And
oh,
I just
thank
am
you,
so
Zoe.
Grateful to have you. And can you tell people how to find you, maybe?
Yeah, you can go to kamaflight.com, KAMAFLIGHT, massage.com, and send me an email.
So I want everyone to thank Roland for his time. And by the way,
how do you say delicious, lovely, delectable, divine? How do you say gorgeous, with it, groovy, fine?
So for my last guest, guys, thanks for being so patient. It's so wonderful. This is my friend Anthony, who is, in my opinion, one of the best experts on love that I know. One of the most loving people I've ever met. And Anthony, you and I have been talking a lot about why love doesn't last.
Yeah.
Why people have infatuation, lose the infatuation, the drugs in our brain dope us into loving someone, and when it fades out, you're left with a mirror that leaves you with just your own flaws. And then how do you work through it? So I've been working through that myself, and I'd love for you to talk to people a little bit quickly about that process, I guess.
Whew. Yeah, so I teach what's called relationship as a path as part of my work. And the idea is that all of our relationships are the place where we can become most actualized for ourselves. So that's...
Yeah?
Yeah. You want me to talk more about that?
Yes, I do. Mm. I'd like you to talk about the process, because a lot of my friends and my, you know, people fall in love, they have these amazing dopamine, oxytocin connections, and then the drugs in our brain leave, and then we're left with this shallow, like, loss.
Yeah. So here's basically the story. So at some point when you were a kid, you learned that a big part of you should be hidden away, that you should kind of stuff it beneath the surface, and you got shamed for being you. Yeah? So then later in life, you find somebody, and you fall in love with them. You get a lot of really good chemicals like rushing through your system. You see in that person a lot of the disowned parts of yourself. So you see kind of, we call it like aura projection. You see the aspects of yourself that you get to be when you're with them. And it feels really good. You're actually coming alive a bit, and you're not numbed out to the pain that you've been in for your most of your life in that place. And then what happens is you gradually start to experience a bit of reality, where the dopamine starts to fade a bit, and then you're confronted with what we call the intimacy wall, which is you really have to look at aspects of yourself that you have spent your entire life trying to avoid through a variety of different addictions. Not just drugs, conflict, drama, creating confusion and chaos in your life. And this is where 95% of couples eject. The name of the game is not to kind of grind it out for 50 years with someone who you're not in love with. The idea is that when you get to that intimacy wall, you use the conflicts that are coming up in the relationship as a pathway inward. And you learn to reparent yourself. You find the parts of yourself that are disowned, that are shamed, and you bring them to the surface so you can become free. And you do that in a great relationship. And then you fall into a deeper type of love. You reach actual intimacy, where you can be you, and really you. And I believe this is really a revolutionary act in our society, because most of the culture is designed to strip away your essence. And then it gets marketed back to you. The last 100 years of marketing public relations, but about marketing something inside of you back to yourself. So true love is a revolutionary act. It transcends social systems. It evolves the consciousness of the species forward. And it allows you to live the most incredible life. And you can do this whether you're single or you're in a relationship. You can practice relationship as a path to really see the mirror in front of you. And it ultimately puts you back in touch with your own divinity. And the truth is that this is sort of the... relationship as a path is nothing that's new. I mean, this, if you look at the wisdom traditions, this has been the big teaching of everybody that's made any kind of significant impact in our cultural, spiritual history. The idea of looking at yourself first. If people just did that, you know, when they're judging someone, even the micro judgments that you have, there's always just a wealth of just love inside of those judgments that you can unlock for yourself. Find it yourself. And often what you find is in the conflicts, you'll try to change somebody, you'll be trying to say some things about this person's crazy, or I want them to change. And when you find the symmetrical piece in yourself and you actually do the work to get present to it and unlock the gift inside of it, it's miraculous, the symmetry. Often the other people just change automatically because you've done the work inside yourself.
Oof. Yeah. All so right. So easily said. But let's just say, for instance, you're in a relationship where you had deep amounts of drugs in your brain and you are fully, physically infatuated with someone.
Yeah.
And then it starts to fade. And the feelings of intense heroin, like chills up your spine.
Yeah, totally.
You feel them. How do you double down and work through the loss of your brain's chemistry?
Yeah,
like, how do you find that love and that intimacy?
So the idea, in a nutshell, and anybody can do this, is, you know, the only reason you really, I mean, if you're doing relationship as a path, the only reason you really leave relationship is because you can't handle facing yourself, right? It's like you have to have that mindset. And so the crazy shit that comes out is ultimately, it's a process you go through to become you. So you feel the pain, you feel the shit that's happening, and you recognize that, you know, you get this beautiful contrast. This person comes into your life and you're feeling wonderful. And that starts to fade, but you're actually getting present to the numbness. You're getting present to the part of you that's been dead for 30 years. And if you can stay present to that and not find some other move to numb it out through diving into conflict or having some weird...
Drugs, alcohol, food.
Work, religion, some crazy game you get into, or drama, conflict. You know, people get addicted to their conflict in relationship, judgments.
So much. The conflict is its own dopamine.
So the idea is to be able to remain present to the pain and actually receive the gift inside of it. Like, literally feel it. And because the truth is, people, you know, the Buddha said that the problems of the world effectively are from people that want pleasure without the pain. You have to have both, yeah? You have to be able to embrace the pain that comes along with these things. So if you can stay present to the pain, you're going to expand your capacity to feel. And you're actually like waking up. It's a process of waking up. It's like you've been sleeping on
it's like the Matrix when you take the thing out of
your... exactly what it's like.
That's and you're like, what the fuck?
That's exactly what it's like. And that's in fact what they're talking about there. Yeah. Is the awakening process. When you get present to the pain, you get present to reality. And then you realize that the reality is effectively just you. It's the mirror for yourself. It's there's all sorts of deep spiritual insight that will come as a result of that process and practice. But the core of it, I mean, people would just commit to living one day without blaming or criticizing other people, it's like their whole world would change. They're so addicted to it.
What will I do for a career? You guys are like so other level. I can't even.
He's great.
Like,
he's wonderful.
Yeah, oh, I am aware he's wonderful.
Are you available tonight?
He is.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Honestly. If the three of you could sum up for me in a couple sentences, what's the best way to live an authentic life through love? What would it be?
Falling in love and then doing whatever it takes to stay there is the most direct route to self-actualization.
Next.
No shame. Just do what you need to do. No shame.
What if it's filmed and people can see it?
Delete it.
Yeah, fair. Delete it. Good point. Okay.
Your genitals are your friend. Make friends with your genitals. That's how we're going to find world peace, one happy genital at a time.
And on that note, I'd really like to thank all of you for coming and supporting me in doing this. It's my first ever experience. I hope you guys have had a good time. I'm really grateful to you three and to Roland, wherever he went. This has been Maria and everybody. So thank you so much.
Yeah, Zoe.
I'm really, really happy. Thank you, Zoe.
Every good man need a good wife, pussy. I mean, wife. But that mean you would have to get married. Aquarius, heaven. You can pay for sex, but can't buy love. She need extra bills. That's why she says she loves you.
Happy early Valentine's Day, everyone. Cupid's arrows are flying around. Be careful, duck and weave, or you two will get caught in the Valentine's Day hoopla. I just want to say a very, very warm thank you to Roland and Rhea and Anthony. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. Thanks to Grant and Josh and Blake, my fearless best boyfriends, who let me use their gorgeous New York apartment for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Thank you to Jordan, my trusty sound companion. Thank you to Nicole, my amazing producer. Thank you to all of you for listening while my little Thomas the Tank Engine that couldn't gets up this hill. I've got a sponsor, I've got fans, my mom is proud of me, and I think that my Herculean task of making my show something that's profitable and viable, that I, so I can quit all my other work and just do this full time, is closer than ever. In the meantime, I send you so much love and snuggles and kisses and hugs and chocolates and candies and Valentines and all of that fake Hallmark bullshit that we all feel so bad when we don't receive. So consider me your Valentine. I will be spending this Valentine's Day alone with my dog. So send me some too. Don't forget to follow me on my Twitter at Genuinely False. I do live Periscope from there as well. Follow me on my Instagram, Dr. Z Nightingale. And please, for the love of God, would you go to my iTunes review section and give me some stars, good or bad. Write me a review. Only if it's good. but I'm really trying to climb up the ranks, so any review helps, good or bad. Just sign a little name in that iTunes window, and I will be so grateful. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful night.